Welcome to the Build Wealth Canada podcast, where it's all about becoming debt-free, accelerating your wealth, and taking control of your money. Now, here's your host, Cornell Schreiber.
Hey, it's Cornell, and welcome to the Build Wealth Canada podcast. With inflation slowing down here in Canada, we are starting to hear talks of the Bank of Canada no longer planning to increase our interest rates or maybe even lowering them. Now, this can have an impact on our investment portfolios, particularly if you hold bonds. Because remember, there is that inverse relationship between interest rates and bonds, where increases in the interest rate tends to lower the value of the bonds that we hold in our portfolio. And on the flip side, if the Bank of Canada does lower our rates, we can expect our bonds to increase in value. Now, apart from our investments, the interest rate also, of course, can have a substantial impact on our month-to-month cash flow when it comes to things like mortgages, as well as the real estate market in general. So with spring just around the corner and the real estate buying and selling season about to kick off, I thought it would be great to have our resident mortgage expert, Sean Cooper, back on the show to discuss what Canadians should be thinking about when it comes to their mortgages right now. Should you do a fixed rate or variable rate mortgage if you're buying a home or have a mortgage coming up for renewal? Or what if you're considering locking in your mortgage to a fixed rate? Now, the optimum answer for all of this can change for you depending on what is happening in the market right now and, of course, your own personal situation. So Sean takes us through the different things you should consider. You'll also learn what your options are if you find a better mortgage than what you have right now. What if the rates do drop and now you're able to get a less expensive mortgage? Can you switch? What can the penalties be? And can it be worth it to pay those penalties if you find a better mortgage? And to kick things off, Sean will take us through what is happening in the real estate market right now in Canada for those looking to potentially buy or sell their home in the near future. Is it more of a buyer's market or a seller's market? And what can you expect? Now, in case this is your first time hearing Sean on the show, he is the show's resident mortgage expert and who I go to and who I send friends and family to for any mortgage-related questions. Sean is the best-selling author of the book Burn Your Mortgage, The Simple, Powerful Path to Financial Freedom for Canadians. He is also an independent mortgage broker and has made himself available to help answer mortgage-related questions to listeners of the Build Wealth Canada show. So Sean, thank you for doing that. And if you do have any questions or are just looking to get a short list of the best mortgages that he's been able to find in Canada, since he's constantly on the lookout for the best mortgages, you can reach out to him over at buildwealthcanada.ca/Sean. That's buildwealthcanada.ca/Sean, S-E-A-N. And now let's get into the interview. All right, Sean, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Cornell. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me again as a guest.
No problem. So, Sean, to kick things off, what's happening in the real estate market right now in Canada? Is it more of a buyer's market or a seller's market? And what should we expect if we're considering buying or selling our home now or in the near future?
Sure. So great question. I mean, really depends on where you are in the country. Certainly there are Canadian real estate statistics that come out, but you know, Cordell, that each real estate market is unique in its own way, whether it's Toronto or Vancouver or a smaller market, rural area, like medium-sized city, like Kitchener, Waterloo. It really depends on the area there. But generally speaking, I would say that the market is a lot more balance these days, just generally speaking. It's not like the way it was post-COVID there in 2020, where things kind of calmed down a bit and then really went crazy there. And yeah, the main reason is that it's a lot more balance is just because the main driving force when it comes to the real estate market is interest rates. And as we discussed in previous podcasts here, interest rates have gone up like to at a record pace here. We've seen interest rates, like prime rate as an example, go up by 4% there. So yeah, that's really slowed down the real estate market. But we're really at a point where interest rates have stabilized here and doesn't look like we're going to be getting any more interest rate increases from the Bank of Canada.
Quite knock on wood, right?
Yeah, knock on wood there. quite the opposite. We're actually at a point where it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the Bank of Canada will be cutting interest rates there. So yeah, I would say this really presents a great opportunity to get into the real estate market, because what happens is that when interest rates fall, that's going to drive up home prices and really lead to like a rush of people getting into the real estate market once the Bank of Canada does that first interest rate cut there. So yeah, I would definitely say if you're looking to get into the market, I would try to get in before the first interest rate cut. And again, I have no crystal ball here. Could happen in the spring. If I was a betting person, I would probably say by like the June that it might happen, because the Bank of Canada just wants to wait and see there. But yeah, if I had all my ducks in a row and I was ready, I would definitely try to buy before that first rate cut happens, because that's just going to lead to a lot more competition in and drive home prices up. So yeah, I would say things have stabilized. We're not seeing rates increasingly going up. We're seeing the rates have stabilized, rates are trending downward. It's definitely a good time to get in, and that unpredictability of the rates continually going up has passed from like a few months ago. So yeah, I definitely say as long as you're financially ready, it's a great time to buy and sell right now, as long as you can find something that meets all your needs.
And I suppose if somebody's response to that as well, I would like to buy right now, however, I also want to take advantage of these lower rates that we feel are coming, then I suppose would the right answer to them be that maybe they should then consider a variable rate mortgage, because then they're basically getting into the market before the flood of people come in, like, you know, for the summer buying season, let's say, and also now more people coming in because the rates have dropped. And so this way you're kind of not getting this influx of buyers, but you're still going to be able to take advantage of the lower rates when they come eventually. Is that the right way to think about it, do you think?
Yeah, that's a great point there, Cordell. And that's what I'm suggesting for people. There's a couple ways to do this. It depends on your comfort level as well. Some people, just after the 4% increase in prime rate, some people are just like, I'm not really comfortable with variable rate. I would say that's a minority. Most people are still open to that. I mean, if you were in a variable rate mortgage and you were able to handle that, then I think you can pretty much handle anything. But yeah, to answer your question, for some folks, they're just not comfortable with variable rate for whatever people. Those are maybe the folks that, like, despite what people say, they're just like, I'm going to put my money in GICs and not invest in the market. I mean, I'm sure you've met those people there, despite what you...
Like the very risk averse group of people.
Yeah, the risk averse people. Mm-hmm. With those people there, if they agree that like rates are going to be coming down, for those folks, I'm suggesting like the 3 or 4 year fixed rate, because yeah, they're able to benefit like if rates end up coming down in that time frame and renew at a lower rate. Like for people that are looking for the absolute lowest payment, the 5 year fix is the lowest right now. So for those super risk averse people where their cash flow is affected, then the 5 year fixed rate can still make sense. But for people that have a little more wiggle room with their cash flow and looking for to benefit from lower rates, the 3 or 4 year fixed rate can make sense. And for those people that are comfortable with variable rate, yeah, definitely going at the variable rate can make sense, since it looks like we're at the end of the interest rate increase cycle. And an interesting strategy that you can do is you could go with a variable rate, and then you could basically see how things go. Like you could continue to go with the variable rate, or let's say in a year or two's time, you could assess it again with a mortgage broker like myself, and you can actually lock into a fixed rate at that point in time. Because with most lenders, it's pretty standard condition that they have, but you could switch without paying any sort of penalty from a variable rate to a fixed rate, as long as you're staying with the same lender there. And you have that option. So like, for example, you could stay with variable rate for a year or two and then lock into a fixed rate when fixed rates are most probably lower at that point in time. So that's another interesting strategy there as well. Now, keep in mind, variable rate is at a higher rate than fixed rate right now. So for some folks, they might be more comfortable from a cash flow standpoint taking a fixed rate right now. But yeah, if you're cash flow, like you have some flexibility there, then yeah, going with the variable rate and then just basically seeing how things are in a year or two, speaking with somebody like myself and deciding whether you want to stick with it or go with a fixed rate, that can be another great strategy as well. So yeah, those are just some of the things that my mortgage clients are doing these days, and just some things to think about if you're buying a property or your mortgage is coming up for a renewal in the coming months here.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned speaking with a mortgage broker like yourself. Just for anybody hearing Sean for the first time here on the show, we did set up a special page for him if you do want to have a meeting with him, like a phone call, to pick his brain on the rates he's been able to find and what's happening in the market, that kind of a thing. The page that we've set up for him, it's just buildwealthcanada.ca/Sean. So just S-E-A-N. So again, I'll just say one more time in case, buildwealthcanada.ca/Sean. And that is where you can go. You can basically enter your name and email, and then Sean basically gets a notification. You can even book a time on his calendar right on that page. And then you guys can have a chat and see if there's any sort of questions you'd like answered by a mortgage broker. Since Sean's been at this for quite a few years now, and he monitors these rates constantly and the different mortgages that are available, it's a good place to get a second opinion, I would say, for sure. So yeah, Sean, moving on as well, and just a question I thought of as you were answering there. When it comes to things like variable rate mortgages, I've noticed that obviously the rate varies depending on what's happening with the mortgage rates. But I've noticed as well another factor, which is over longer periods of time, there'll be things like, oh, well, now typically variable rate mortgages are prime plus X, whatever X is. And then other times it might be like, oh, it's prime minus X. You know what I mean? So it's like there's the prime rate that varies accordingly. However, it seems like in the whole mortgage market, and we see this as well, like home equity lines of credit as well, right? Where like it used to be, oh, prime minus one is the norm. And then later, fast forward, let's say a few years, and oh, now it's prime minus 0.5 is the norm. What impacts those changes? Because I'm thinking if someone's looking to get a variable rate mortgage now, one question they may have is, okay, I get to take advantage when the rates drop because I'm getting a variable rate, but is this norm going to change where, you know, it used to be, let's say, I don't know what it is now, I'm sure you can tell me, where it's like prime minus something, and now it's changed to like, now it's prime plus one or something. You know what I mean? Can you speak to that a little bit? How often do these things change in terms of what's the norm? And just so that we can factor that into our decision too.
Sure. Great question, Cornell. So just generally speaking, and again, this doesn't apply in all cases here, but when prime rate is higher, the discount lenders offer off of the prime rate on like a variable rate mortgage is bigger. So that's when you're generally going to see the prime minus, like if you have an insured mortgage or you have a lot of equity in your property, generally speaking, these days, you could get a variable rate mortgage at prime minus 0.9%. Whereas like when prime rate dropped so much at the beginning of the pandemic, when the Bank of Canada was even cutting rates on like a Friday afternoon, not even at their scheduled interest rate announcement date. I remember almost falling out of my chair when that happened there. But yeah, when prime rate went so far down that interest rates were effectively at zero with inflation taken into account there, that's when the lenders repriced their variable rate mortgages and were actually doing prime plus. So yeah, again, there's other factors at play, but just to make it easy for the average Canadian, generally speaking, when prime rate is higher, that's what we see the bigger discounts on the variable rate mortgages. When prime rate drops a ton, that's when the discounts tend to go away. So another benefit of going with a variable rate mortgage today is that you can, as mentioned, like I know that prime rate is higher, but you can lock in the bigger discounts. Whereas like with some of the predictions here, like some of the big banks are predicting by the end of 2025, some of the most optimistic predictions are prime rate dropping by almost 3%. So if that ends up happening, then I would expect these bigger discounts to disappear. So yeah, a benefit of going with variable today is that you can lock in the bigger discount because yeah, regardless of what prime rate does, once you lock in that discount of, let's say, 0.9%, if prime rate drops 2%, you always have that discount there. It's not going to go away. So it is advantageous to lock that in today before those bigger discounts perhaps disappear in the coming months here when the Bank of Canada is expected to lower interest rates.
Interesting. So that's, I guess, another looking at pros and cons of, let's say, variable versus fixed. I guess that would be another item in the pros category for variable rate mortgages is because since the interest rates are higher now, you're able to get these discounts as well, yes, exactly, in addition to the prime rate. Okay, very interesting. I didn't know that there was that kind of a relationship. That's good to know. And now a quick intermission to tell you about an additional free resource that you may find helpful. On this podcast, we often cover best practices that can not only help you now, but will also be relevant throughout your investment lifetime. But what if you also want an update on what is happening with your investments, the markets, and the economy right now? So to help me stay up to date on these topics, a great Canadian podcast that I listen to weekly is called Views from the Desk. They provide timely information for us Canadians on what is happening to our investments right now, as well as other key factors affecting us, like changes to our interest rates, our inflation, and regulatory changes that we should know about here in Canada. The podcast is hosted by BMO ETFs. I'm a huge fan of theirs. I own a lot of BMO ETFs myself, and it's a great resource for both new and existing ETF investors. I hope you check them out. All episodes are available for free in your favorite podcast player. Just search for Views from the Desk. Let's get back into the interview. Now, this following question, we've prepared it ahead of time, and you kind of touched on it already because we're already talking about variable versus fixed. But it's always worth covering this one because things do change. So one question that always comes up, the best answer does seem to change constantly in regard is whether we should go with a fixed rate or a variable rate mortgage. And so for Canadians that have their mortgages coming up for renewal or those that are looking for a brand new mortgage, I've noticed over time, because we do these episodes a few times a year, it seems like the answer of, you know, which one is best now, it really seems to vary based on interest rates and what's happening in the mortgage market right now, as well as a person's individual situation, which is obviously a huge, huge factor in all of this. Like you mentioned, how risk averse someone is and different things they have going on in their lives as well, their cash flow situation. Which mortgage type makes the most sense right now for most Canadians from what you're seeing? And what are the caveats that we need to be aware of? Because as longtime listeners of the show know, very rarely is there like a silver bullet, you know, golden solution where, oh, this is always the best answer. A lot of times things change and there's caveats and things like that, depending on your situation. So can you speak to that for someone that's wrestling with that right now, where they're like, oh, my mortgage is coming up for renewal. Should I switch to fixed or stay variable or vice versa? You know, what to do? Or someone that's looking for a brand new mortgage and they're now seeing like, well, why would I go with variable when the rate seems to be higher than fixed?
Sure. So great question, Cordell. I like how you phrased it, saying for most Canadians there, because yes, everyone's situation is different. But yeah, for most Canadians, as mentioned with the caveat, as long as you can handle the payment from a cash flow perspective, I'll just kind of put it to you this way. Like, I definitely think variable rates back in the game again. It was definitely a tough pill to swallow when we were seeing rates go up as much as they did, with prime rate going up 4% in 1 year. But yeah, definitely with interest rates stabilizing here, I definitely think variable rate is worth serious consideration, especially with the news that came out this week. And again, we're speaking on the Family Day week because the podcast is going to be coming out later here. But yeah, we just got the latest inflation numbers, and the inflation number was at 2.9%, and experts expected it to be over 3% at 3.3% there. So yeah, definitely with the positive inflation numbers coming out, that definitely makes the variable rate seem even more attractive, because the Bank of Canada, their main mandate is to control the inflation rate. And once that inflation rate comes down enough, that's when they can start to cut interest rates, because the only reason that the interest rates are so high is to basically say to Canadians as businesses to not spend as much, because like spending of consumers as well as businesses, that's what excessive spending, that's what leads to the inflation there. So they're basically trying to suppress that. But yeah, definitely with the positive inflation numbers coming out here, as long as you can handle it from a cash flow perspective right now, there are some things that can be done. Like, you can temporarily stretch out your amortization period of the mortgage, which is the total length of time it takes to pay your mortgage. I've released a video on my YouTube channel on this, but there's a few ways that you could do this. Like, if you made extra lump sum payments on your mortgage, and let's say it took 3 years off the amortization period of your mortgage there, then you can basically stretch it out another by the 3 years, however much time you saved, and you can make your payment that much more affordable. Another option is if you have a collateral mortgage, which if you have a bank mortgage with one of the big banks, more than likely it is collateral. So if you have a collateral mortgage, you can actually stretch it out to as far as 25 years and still qualify for best mortgage rates, because if you refinance your mortgage, you could certainly get a more affordable payment, but you also are getting as competitive mortgage rate as you do that there. So yeah, to summarize, definitely think variables worth serious consideration, especially with the positive inflation news. See if you can afford the payments as is, but if it's not quite affordable for you, definitely speak with a mortgage broker like myself, because there are things that we can do, like stretching out the amortization period to make it that much more affordable for you. So if you're really struggling, then definitely I think it could make sense to go with a fixed rate just for that peace of mind. But if you have some wiggle room in terms of the cash flow and you can make the payment work, I definitely think that there can be some significant interest savings. Because going back to a report that I really like by a York University professor, he studied variable rate mortgages for 50 years from 1950 to 2000. And he found that variable rate mortgages actually came out ahead of fixed rate mortgages almost 90% of the time. That's 99.0, not 19%. Like, that's basically like 9 in 10 variable rate mortgages come out ahead of the fixed rate mortgages. Of course, it depends on when you signed up for them. But yeah, if you're in an interest rate environment that is declining or stable, like, definitely makes the variable rate a ton more attractive than the fixed rate there. So I don't know about you, but those odds seem pretty good there. So yeah, as long as you can handle the payment and you're not somebody who is super risk averse, definitely think the variable rate is worth serious consideration these days.
For sure. It's just like in investing, right? There is no guarantee per se in most situations, but it's more like you're playing with probabilities where you're betting on the thing that is more likely to happen. And so there's no guarantee that you'll come out ahead, but you might as well play the thing that gives you the highest chances, right? And just acknowledging that you're not going to come out 100% of the time, but it's taking the right action with the information you have at hand, or making the best decision with the information you have at hand is the way to go for sure. And I guess you're talking about one lever you can pull is to lengthen the amortization period of your mortgage. And I can see some people pushing back saying, well, but I want to pay off my mortgage sooner rather than later. Why would I want to extend the amortization period? I can see people being reluctant to do that because nobody wants to have it take longer to pay off their mortgage. But I think we might have talked about this strategy the last time you were on. Was I remember you mentioning something along the lines of, well, especially if interest rates are still high, maybe you're struggling a little bit from the cash flow perspective, or you know, you want more cash flow at the end of the month than you currently have because of these drastic rate increases. I remember you mentioning how one thing you could do is you could extend that amortization period. Let's say your mortgage is coming up for renewal, but then you make sure that that new mortgage also has relatively generous prepayment privileges where you can do bigger lump sum payments, or you can just increase your monthly rate if you choose to do so. And so I remember you mentioning how that is one thing worth considering, where this way it's like, okay, rates are high, we're kind of bleeding quite a bit from a cash flow perspective. Sure, let's extend the amortization. But when things get better, like if the rates end up dropping, which they seem to be, there seems to be some writing on the wall that the rates are going to be dropping, the ones that does happen, then it's not like we're still stuck at that amortization period. Yeah, that's there, but you can do these prepayment, like you can increase your monthly payments or do lump sum payments since now you're paying less towards interest. And that way you can still pay off your mortgage in that same length of time prior to you making that amortization change. Did I summarize that strategy correctly? I remember I can see that one being very appealing because it gives you options as opposed to just like, okay, you're stuck with a long amortization period. You're going to take an extra whatever, 5-10 years to pay off your mortgage. That can be a tough pill to swallow if people think that that's what they're locking in for.
Very well said, Cordell. So I kind of like to sum it up this way. Like in periods of high interest rates, like this isn't normal to have the rates as high as they are. Canadians are struggling with the higher interest rates. Businesses are struggling too. Like we've heard about so many businesses that they can't handle the higher interest rates and they've gone under like bad boys in Southern Ontario here comes to mind. They just couldn't handle the higher interest rates, so they went bankrupt. So yeah, there's no shame in restructuring your mortgage to make it more affordable for you temporarily, because it's not normal that we have interest rates as high as they are. So yeah, like in times of really high interest rates, you can stretch out the mortgage a bit so that you can actually afford to live here, because yeah, you don't want to be struggling and eating Kraft dinner and really cutting back so much. So like that, yeah, that's not healthy to eat that at every single meal or anything like that. So yeah, in periods of high interest rates, you can stretch out your amortization a bit. And then in periods of lower interest rates, that's when you can catch up on it through making extra payments, lump sum payments, as well as increasing your payments. So yeah, that's what it really helps to work with a lender that's more flexible, because I find that with some of the big bank mortgages are restrictive in how much extra money you could put against it and how much you can increase your payment. Whereas with the online lenders exclusively available through like a mortgage broker like myself, that's where they really shine in the terms and conditions. So that's a strategy that you're considering there. That's definitely like a big benefit of working with an independent mortgage broker like myself, because we have access to lenders that are really flexible in those ways so that you can get caught up on your mortgage later on. But yeah, you did a good job of summarizing it there.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I remember that worked pretty well for us back in like years ago when we had a mortgage. I recall us having relatively low monthly obligations when it comes to the cash flow that has, like, the bare minimum that has to leave the account. But then we had those generous prepayment privileges where we had the option to increase our monthly payments. And we could always like lower them back down, I think, as well, if we wanted to, right? Because this is like you're adding above and beyond what you agreed to with the bank. And then also it had those like lump sum privileges as well. And so that was really good, because I recall when things were going good and we had, you know, we didn't have any like car emergencies where, you know, big car repair or big house repair, we had some extra cash flow that month. We could pump them into the mortgage if we wanted to pay that off quicker. But if things did go bad, like, you know, our car got broken into, it was a whole thing.
Oh gosh,
our house got broken into, things. Yeah. So like when things like that happen, then it's like, okay, then we are maybe not putting in as much to paying down the mortgage that particular month, but we're still meeting our minimum debt obligation to the bank because that amount was lower to begin with. So yeah, I found those were really good levers to pull, just to have that optionality, as opposed to just being locked into this really, really high monthly cash flow hit. And, you know, and then your people, a lot of people are struggling, especially because who anticipated that the rates would go up as much as they did, right? So that's great, Sean. Thank you for mentioning that. And now a quick message from one of our sponsors. Do you know why asset allocation ETFs have become so popular? Asset allocation explains over 90% of the variation in a portfolio's quarterly return. So it's no wonder Canadian investors are turning to these ETFs. Today's sponsor, BMO ETFs, offers these innovative all-in-one solutions with the BMO All Equity ETF, ZEQT, the BMO Growth ETF, ZGRO, the BMO Balanced ETF, ZBAL, and the BMO Conservative ETF, ZCON, and many more. BMO developed these to help provide investors with ETFs that offer broad diversification and are also low cost and simple to use. These ETFs invest in a number of underlying index-based ETFs and are rebalanced automatically back to your set asset allocation or mix of stocks and bonds. They offer a hands-free approach to investing that is built on disciplined weights to provide exposure to different geographies and sectors all in one solution. BMO actually offers 8 asset allocation ETFs, and you can learn more at bmoetfs.com. And now back to the show. If anybody listening sees a better rate or mortgage terms than they are currently paying from another lender, what are their options when it comes to switching their mortgage, especially factoring in these sometimes very large fees that can be charged when switching mortgages?
Sure. So great question. So when your mortgage is coming up for a renewal, the good thing is that as a mortgage broker, I can set it up so that your mortgage will switch over on your mortgage renewal date. So there are no penalties to do that. But let's say that you're looking to do that midterm. I can do basically like a cost benefit analysis and see if that would be worthwhile for you to do with in terms of your mortgage there. Because that's something I was doing for a lot of folks when mortgage rates dropped a ton during COVID. A few months after that, mortgage rates dropped substantially. Interest rates were essentially like money was pretty much free to borrow then with the inflation taken into account there. So yeah, you're not tied to your lender or anything like that there. I mean, there are some mortgages out there that have really low rates, but they have like call them no frills mortgages where they have really restrictive terms and conditions. Like there's something called a bona fide sale clause where you're not able to break your mortgage. The only way to break your mortgage, you can't switch to another lender or anything like that. The only way to break your mortgage is if you sell your property. So yeah, if you're in one of those mortgages, you're a bit handcuffed, but most people aren't in those mortgages. And I'm not a big fan of them there because it really handcuffs you in terms of options. So yeah, if you've heard about mortgage rates dropping and you locked in at a higher rate, it's definitely worth reaching out to a mortgage broker and just seeing what your options are and seeing if it's worthwhile to switch lenders, because yeah, things can always change. Like maybe you're looking to undertake a major renovation on your property. And when it comes to borrowing money for your property, it's the cheapest way for Canadians to borrow money. Whereas if you borrow money from like an unsecured line of credit, typically those are at like prime plus 3%. So you're almost looking at like a 10% interest rate. And that can be quite expensive in terms of the monthly payments, even if you're just paying the interest rate amount there. So yeah, definitely whether you're looking to pull some equity for your property or interest rates have dropped and you're seeing if it's worthwhile to break your mortgage, that's definitely worthwhile to speak with an independent mortgage broker like myself, just to find out where your options are and to see if it would be worth switching mortgage lenders at that point in time.
And I think it's worth mentioning too that typically on variable rate mortgages, the fees for canceling that mortgage are a lot lower than for fixed rate mortgages. Is that still the case, Sean, from what you're seeing?
Yes, generally speaking, again, this doesn't apply across the board, but generally speaking, the penalty for variable rate mortgages is just 3 months of interest to break, whereas the fixed rate mortgage, I mean, yeah, the penalty can be easily into the five figures or more. So I get definitely, if you have a variable rate mortgage, it does give you a lot more flexibility and freedom. And yeah, that's another reason why I like the variable rate as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, again, not to say that variable is always the best solution for everyone in every situation, that we always have to be careful that there's pros and cons to each approach. But I do think that's one thing when you're comparing the pros and cons, that's a big one, I think. Because I, like you said, that the fee, and I've seen this with a family member in particular, where they sold the house, they want to get out quicker than they anticipated, and the fee was literally over $10,000 that they had to pay.
Yeah, it can get and pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty very significant. Whereas this story is a lot different for variable rate mortgages. So yeah, I think that's definitely something to kind of have on your list. And I also wanted to highlight one other thing you mentioned, which I thought was very valuable, about, again, something that people just should probably write down somewhere on their to-do list in terms of best practices, is to make sure that their mortgage does have that option to switch it to a new house, or like where you don't have to sell your existing house if you want to switch it. That sounds like a good clause to look for as well.
That's definitely helpful to have like a good portability clause, because yes, it's mm-hmm. not standard all across the board. Some lenders only give you 30 days to port your mortgage, which means that you have to buy and sell and the closing dates have to be within a 30-day window. I mean, I don't know about you, Cornell, but that can be pretty challenging. Like if you're, depending on whether you're buying or selling first, if you say to the potential buyers of the property, like, I'm only going to accept a closing date within this 30-day window, like you'd be losing quite a bit of money to do that there. So yeah, it definitely helps to have a lot more flexible portability of like 60 or 90 days there, because yeah, it's really tough if it's really restrictive. So yeah, as I mentioned, everyone wants a competitive rate, but it's really important to understand the fine print. And that's where I can really help people out, because it's not like reading to understanding these mortgage terms and conditions is often like reading like a legal textbook or something like that, or trying to understand like a life or disability insurance policy. It's not the most interesting stuff, but I do this for a living, so I can read the fine print and help you, like help the average Canadian have a better understanding of it, so that you don't have to spend your Friday night reading all this fine print here yourself.
And just to confirm, when you speak to Build Wealth Canada listeners, that let's say they have a mortgage coming up for renewal, and let's say, like with our current example, the portability clause, how easily can they switch it over? Are you able to basically, obviously you're going to look at potential mortgages they could go into, but are you also, as part of your service, able to look at their existing mortgage and look at things like the portability and what are the regulations when it comes to that? What are their fees going to be if they break the mortgage? I assume you look into that as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as mentioned, if somebody's mortgage is coming up for renewal and we're simply switching lenders, there's no penalties or anything to do that. It really only applies if somebody is doing that like midterm, let's say they have a couple years left and they're looking to break the mortgage there. But yeah, I've worked with like pretty much almost every lender here. So I have a pretty good understanding of all the terms and conditions there. I don't really need to, you know, do a ton of research into it. But yeah, I like to give people like a full view, and I don't just talk about the mortgage rates, I talk about the terms and conditions. So I basically compare what they have now and any other options versus any options I'm presenting to them, just so that they can make a fully informed decision. So yeah, definitely always talk about like the prepayment privileges, the penalty, and the portability as well, because those are all important things to be aware of, because it definitely can help save you a ton of money later on if plans change. Because I have read statistics over the year that say an average of 7 in 10 Canadians end up making some sort of change to their mortgage before the end of the mortgage term there, just because mm-hmm. so many different things can happen, whether it's deciding to move to a new city for a job promotion or maybe undertaking a big home renovation. There's all sorts of reasons that you might want to restructure your mortgage there. I mean, like we're speaking now in 2024, 5 years from now is 2029. I mean, I honestly don't know, like, it's hard to predict what my life will be like in 2029. I'm sure like many of the listeners' lives will change by then as well. So definitely I like leaving my options open and not necessarily like handcuffing myself there. So yeah, definitely important to consider the terms and conditions, because having that flexibility can really end up helping you later on in life if you end up being one of those 7 in 10 Canadians that need to make changes to your mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember you mentioning in the past how we have to be very careful when shopping around for the lowest mortgage rate, because you may find one that's the absolute lowest, but then the terms might actually be horrible. And so you might walk away with, okay, I'm saving a relatively small amount every month because I got the rock bottom rate. But then when it comes to move, maybe the portability clause is very much not in your favor because you got that sort of bottom of the barrel mortgage. And so now you go to move and it's like, oh, now my fee is $10,000 to cancel the mortgage, right? And so, okay, that's great that you saved, you know, whatever, $50 a month or whatever the case may be. But now you're paying, you know, an extra $10,000 to get out of the mortgage because you got an offer for a really good job and now you're moving and it's just something that you did not anticipate happening. And so it all, I think, helps these kinds of examples that definitely happen, helps reinforce the idea that while the rate is obviously important, the terms of the contract of the mortgage are absolutely critical. And I remember you had this quote you say a lot, which I really liked. It was something like, maybe you could say it, I forgot what it was, but it was something like the mistakes can be in the dollars when it comes to rate, but it could be in the thousands when it comes to the terms. It was something along those lines.
Yeah, well said. I mean, definitely when it comes to mortgages, it's important to look at big picture. And something else that's important is you also want to look at, like, it's not just about having somebody set up the mortgage for you. You also want to see like what kind of post mortgage funding service you're going to get. And when you work with like a mortgage broker like myself, I pretty much tell all of clients that at a bare minimum, we'll have an annual mortgage call together where we'll review your financial situation and see if there's any changes. But before that, if you ever want to sit down and discuss things like strategies to pay down your mortgage sooner, I'm more than happy to do that for you, run different scenarios for you, and to see how maybe putting an extra like $100, $200 a month against the mortgage will help you save money in the long run. Whereas, again, not to pick on certain banks or other types of lenders there, but I just find it's not really in their interest to help you save, like, pay down your mortgage sooner, whereas like you have somebody working on your team and you have a trusted mortgage advisor to help you at no extra cost for the coming months and years. So it's also important to consider like the big picture there, because that can really help you save a ton of money. Yeah, you may be able to find like a slightly lower rate, but if you're not getting any assistance at all, it could end up costing you more in the long run because you don't have like a trusted mortgage advisor who's going to discuss strategies to pay down your mortgage that the average Canadian may not know because financial literacy is so lacking in this country, if that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah, but I guess it would be worthwhile mentioning, so the way that mortgage brokers are compensated, like the way Sean is compensated, is essentially if you get a mortgage through him. And so if you are chatting with him, he would not charge you hourly or anything like that. There's no fee in that regard. It's more so, and this is just pretty standard across mortgage brokers, I would say, it's more so that if you are working with, let's say, Sean, and he's been working with you for hours to learn your situation and figure out what the right mortgage is, and, you know, reading your existing mortgage and looking at new ones, and it's hours and hours of work, then the, I guess, implied assumption is that if you do go get a mortgage, and assuming it's like a, you know, he's able to find you a good one, that you go with him as opposed to just like, you know, then going all of a sudden with someone completely different that has spent like minutes with you instead. Can you maybe, Sean, speak to kind of what the process typically is for anybody that wants to work with you? Again, it's buildwealthcanada.ca/Sean if you want to have a chat with Sean. And there you can actually find a time on his calendar. You could also when you enter your email there, the email goes right to Sean. And so then he knows to try to set up a time with you where you guys can talk. Can you maybe speak to, just as a kind of a final question, how can, you know, people work with you, get more information? You study this constantly on the latest rates, the latest mortgages, the latest rules, things of that nature. So I find Sean's a really good resource to get a second opinion on things as well, because maybe you're doing your own research, but you want someone that's actually in the industry day in, day out, and that's not going to, you know, charge you an arm and a leg for their opinion. So yeah, Sean, maybe you want to speak to that at this point as our final question.
Sure, sounds good. And yeah, working with a mortgage broker is similar to working with a realtor. That's the comparison that I always like to give, because yeah, when you work with a realtor, you don't pay them an like hourly rate or anything like that. The realtor only gets paid like once you buy or sell a property through them. So it's the same idea with a mortgage broker. My services as an independent mortgage broker are complimentary to you. You're not going to be paying like an hourly rate or anything like that. How I'm paid is once you decide to move forward with your mortgage through me, then basically paid by the lender for introducing you as a client there. So that's how it works. But yeah, basically how it works is like whether you're buying a property or your mortgage is coming up or a renewal, we can have an initial call just to understand what your long-term goals and financial goals and plans are, because it's not just about the mortgage rate. It's about the big picture. Like, common question I have for people is how long do they plan to live at the property there? Because if you say that you might want to upgrade your property in the next couple of years, I wouldn't necessarily suggest like a 5-year term, because then you could be exposing yourself to a big mortgage penalty later on. So yeah, I just like to ask some general questions about what people's long-term plans are in terms of how long they plan to stay at the property. Do they want to pull some extra equity out of the property? Like, a lot of people having like accumulated quite a bit of household debt just with the higher interest rates there and the higher cost of living. So it's a good opportunity to look at rolling in some of that debt into the mortgage. So yeah, we just talk about like just kind of trying to have a better understanding of people's financial situation there and have a chat for 15 or 20 minutes there. And then once I have a good idea, we kind of talk about the pros and the cons of fixed versus variable. And then I'll present them with any listeners who contact me with like a few different options. Because like as a mortgage broker, as an independent mortgage broker, unlike when you go directly to a lender, there's just only one lender, whereas I work 50 different lenders. So I'm able to present you with several different options there so you can make a fully informed decision. And then you feel like you have, you know, more choice. And it also helps you save time and money because you don't have to do all that extra work yourself. And for somebody looking to switch mortgage lenders at renewal, it's a pretty straightforward process. It's only an investment of time of maybe a couple hours, and that you could potentially save yourself hundreds or thousands of dollars and end up with a mortgage with a lot better terms and conditions. Because yeah, I've had many people like say, oh, I just took out my mortgage at the bank where I had my checking account. I didn't know there were different options out there. So just being able to enlighten people about the better terms and conditions and better mortgage products out there, it's just so rewarding to hear people say that out there. And yeah, just speaking also about working with a mortgage broker, because yeah, like for many people that I speak to, maybe it's their first time doing that. Yeah, it's similar to working with a realtor. When you're looking to buy or sell a property, you don't work with like, you know, 4 or 5 different realtors. You kind of maybe speak with a couple and then decide which one is the best personal fit. And then you work with them to buy or sell your property. It's kind of the same idea with mortgage brokers. Like when it comes to mortgage brokers, we all pretty much have access to the same mortgage products. So yeah, like the initial calls is to make sure that we're a good personal fit. But once that's been determined and that we want to work together, yeah, there's really, as mentioned, all mortgage brokers have access to pretty much the same mortgage products. So you're just kind of wasting your time by speaking to other people. Like, you just want to kind of figure out the person who has the best communication style, who's the best fit, and then choose to work with them there. Like, you're really not doing yourself any favors by speaking to anyone else. You could even be hurting yourself, because if the other mortgage broker is going to be pulling credit on you, it can damage your credit score there. So yeah, like the initial call is just to make sure that you're a good personal fit for each other. But once that's been determined, then similar to working with a realtor, you want to choose like the person you're going to work with and commit to working with them there, because yeah, you're just not spending your time wisely, and you could be hurting your credit score if you're working with more than like one person at the same time there.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, when basically I've worked with a mortgage broker every single time we've ever gone through the home purchasing process, mortgage renewal process, to me, it's always been a no-brainer, because why wouldn't you want someone that's on your team that is looking at mortgages from many different lenders, instead of just going direct with a single lender, and now you're basically getting that company's offering and that's it. Well, why wouldn't you shop around? That doesn't make sense. And so, yeah, for me, that was always a no-brainer. And just from reading different best practices, things of that nature, the mortgage broker route seemed to be a really, really good one to go for that reason. But also because why wouldn't you want a second opinion? Well, that's another component, especially when it comes to the different terms of a mortgage. We talked about the portability clause, how important that is. We talked about the prepayment privileges. We talked about the size of the fees and how much they vary. I mean, if you've ever looked at these financial documents for your mortgage, it's not the most enjoyable thing to read.
It's like getting a root canal.
It's not like a Harry Potter book that you're enjoying. It's you know, written in a way where it's not a fun afternoon to read. Let's just say that. And so I think it's really nice in that situation, especially since you don't do this as your day-to-day job as like a regular Canadian, to talk to someone that does do this as their regular job. And you're able to get a second opinion and ask them questions, and they can do some digging for you if there's something you're not sure about. I think that's a really, really valuable thing.
Yeah.
And then you just, yeah, and you thank them for their time by getting the mortgage through them. And in my experience, every time that I've had a mortgage broker, which is every time you bought a house, I'd also like check just to make sure that there's not some amazing stuff I can get myself. And they've always been able to like at least match that rate, or at least match those terms. And so I've never had a situation where it's like I was able to find something better myself. If anything, they were able to give me something that was actually better. I think the rate ended up being the same, but the terms were way better going with the mortgage brokers. So I would end up going with them. And yeah, like now we're mortgage free, but I mean, if I was to buy another house or like a rental property or something of that nature, for sure, I would reach out to Sean personally again, because it's not just the rate that's important. It's also the terms of the mortgage, and those can get complicated. And so it is good to have someone, a second opinion, a second set of eyes. That's not just trying to push a specific mortgage down your throat, you know, because they get a commission or whatever. It's nice to get that. So yeah, so thanks so much for coming on, Sean. For anybody that wants to chat with you, the link again is buildwealthcanada.ca/Sean. So just S-E-A-N, buildwealthcanada.ca/Sean. Sean, thanks again for coming on. Thanks for taking calls from Build With Canada listeners and you know, making them a high priority for you. We've had lots of people contact you, so it's nice that I'm able to send listeners of the show to someone that I know puts them in good hands and is able to take care of them and get their questions answered. So yeah, thanks a lot for your contribution to the show, for helping people out, because I'm definitely not going to be studying mortgages day in, day out like you are. So I appreciate you being able to take that part of the work. It makes my life easier. And thanks again for coming on and sharing your expertise.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always wonderful to speak with the Build Wealth Canada listeners, and looking forward to helping many other listeners in 2024.
Awesome. All right, Sean, take care. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please share it with someone that you think may find it useful. And of course, leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify is always super appreciated as well. I'd like to end with a big thanks to one of our sponsors who, apart from my investing course, literally keeps the entire Build Wealth Canada podcast and website free for you. There are so many opinions on how to invest your money today, but it can be hard to find credible voices to rely on in the world of finance and investing. One resource I turn to every week is the ETF Market Insights YouTube channel, led by today's episode sponsor, BMO ETFs. Market Insights brings in industry experts, and their weekly episodes cover the hottest themes like inflation, infrastructure, healthcare, and more. Tuning in helps me stay up to date on what's happening so I can be a smarter investor. And you can also submit your own ETF questions to be answered on the show. So do yourself a favor and subscribe on YouTube to ETF Market Insights or visit ETFMarketInsights.com so you can be notified when future episodes go live.
Thanks for listening to the Build Wealth Canada podcast at www.buildwealthcanada.ca.